Hi everyone, this is Judy. You're going to enjoy today's conversation when I talk with David Marach, who's a technical marketing engineer for Altium, and he's going to walk us through all the new features of Altium Designer 19, which are spectacular. Altium Designer 19 was just released on December 17th, so he's going to talk us through the new high-speed features, component search, draftsman, and much, much more. And we're also going to plug you into webinars where you can learn more. This is great news for the whole design community, not just Altium Designer users. So lean in, enjoy, and I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, David, it's great to see you. I see you're hailing from where, Rochester, New York, or in that area?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, welcome to the podcast. Even though we're colleagues, it's fun to talk to you. I don't get to see you that often, so I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, the same here. I've missed everyone since I moved out to Rochester, and this is a nice opportunity to get to see you and talk to you.
So why don't you, for our audience, just give a little bit of background on your technical background and your history in the industry, and also what your role is here at Altium.
Sure. Well, I have about 19 years combined experience of engineering and marketing, but the bulk of it is about in the EE. I was electrical engineer for about 14 years. I've worked in small, medium size, and big companies, from companies that were, I remember, with like 10 people at the end of the year. I remember we were like 30. We were growing really fast, of course, that's 300%, to companies with 100,000 employees. I worked in different applications, home automation, IC testing, military, and medical. So wide spectrum in terms of how stringent the PCB design and just the design in general were. I can say I really enjoyed working more in smaller companies. The reason being I wore many hats. I was the guy doing the requirements from the customers, doing the design, schematic capture, laying out the PCB, sending the documents to manufacturing, ordering the parts, soldering the parts when they get back, develop the test fixture with things like software like LabVIEW, build the firmware and test, and of course sometimes they had to do the mechanical design and closure. So it was fun wearing all those hats and working for a smaller company. And although I miss engineering, I think the best part was the marketing, because I get to learn to listen to the customer and see things differently from their perspective. And here in Altium, I'm responsible. My title is a senior technical marketing manager or engineer, depends whom you ask, but we do both. We are responsible for developing most of the content you see online in terms of either visual, written, or even sometimes building designs that we showcase and some of the demos or the webinars. So I'm sure a lot of engineers have seen my face and heard my voice on our website. So.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have all that rich technical background, because you bring a lot of really great content.
Thank
for
you.
Our customers, so we are very glad to have you. So
you.
When about this should be released? Next Tuesday, I think, on the 18th, which will be one day after, drum roll please, the release of Altium Designer 19. And I know, David, you've been recording some live webinars, and some of those will become available online. So for our listeners, just know that David will share the links to those, so you can catch that live, or you can go, as time allows, go and watch those on demand, and he'll really dig deep sort of into some of the new features of All Team Designer 19 and what you can expect. So we've added some pretty neat things. So that's why I really wanted to have this conversation with David today, is to sort of dig in and learn myself right along with you some of the features that are in All Team Designer 19. So David, let's start out with the one that I'm really excited about, which is some of the high-speed design enablers that are in the tool. Why don't you talk us through those?
Yeah, so the one thing that we had the major overhaul on AD19 is the layer stack manager. The new advanced one has three major things in it: an impedance solver, it's state-of-the-art impedance solver, a new material library, and micro VS support. And all of these kind of fall into the high speed, high density interface, interconnect, if you will. And why do we need something this good to control the impedance in our tracks? Well, as more designs have signals nowadays with the high frequency signals, the tracks that carry those signals needs to be impedance controlled. And maybe I can ask the question backward. What if I don't do anything about it? I just leave them the way they are. Well, if you check the impedance on those tracks in which it's not controlled, you'll see the impedance will vary from point to point. And what that does, it degrades the signal integrity, which leads to malfunctions or just the design not working as it was meant to be. So this new solvent relies on the geometry of the PCB and the structure, and that's where the material library comes in. We're giving access to our users to a vast array of material, predefined materials they can use to select the best they see fit for their application. And because those properties are more accurate, they yield a better impedance control calculations. And it's very simple, very easy to use. The user can create profiles for 50 ohm, for microstrip offset, for all type of tracks, whatever that they have in their design. And yeah, go ahead.
I have a question about that. So, and again, I'm learning right along with our listeners really about this. Sure. So when it goes into material properties, you know, I have a background really with high performance RF and microwave and millimeter wave circuits. And I know that, as you said, not only the impedance, but the materials come into play. But the other thing that comes into play is the type of copper, right? Whether it's rolled annealed or electrodeposited.
Yes.
Does our set sort of take some of those things or put those sort of into your... It does. Okay.
Yes. The material library, you can select from the type of copper, the weight, from the prepack, the core. I mean, anything you can think of. And it's for those instances where, for example, we don't have that exact properties that you're looking for, you can simply get them from your manufacturer and add them to your library by a single button that's called new.
So wow. So you can input unique. And there's always new materials. And it seems like the material side of the business is, gotten a little crazy. And there's always new materials coming out. I know Maketron's become big. There's so many materials, it's hard to keep up. So how great to have that. And then to have the impedance solver together. To me, that's really exciting.
Yeah, and on top of that, the micro VIA support, of course, blind and buried VIAs. And of course, the reason we recommend designers to use micro VIAs when they can is, as for the last 10 years, we've seen this miniaturization of PCBs as micro VIAs increase the conductivity and decrease the number of layers and generally in any PCB. So we support stacked micro VIAs. Staggered, they're limited support, if you will. They can place micro VS as they will anywhere in the design. But if they want them to have stacked automatically, we support that as well. So very, very neat. They can add as many profile micro VS profiles as they need. And in the webinar, we do like a deeper dive to show how they're used and how they can be leveraged during interactive routing.
That's great. Well, ever since I arrived here, coming straight really out of RF and microwave and high performance, which is different than high speed digital, but they're both very high frequency, high performance, and so it's complicated. It's very complicated. And so when I got here and found out that they weren't available, and I came out from swimming in those deep waters, I'm like, we need to get that. So I kind of have like a little bit of personal skin in this game, you know, glad that we're bringing this on. And I'm sure that, you know, I know Ted Pawella, the CEO, had said to me, and then we're going to keep building on this, right, in future releases. Yep. So
absolutely.
So this is kind of our foundational
absolutely
first steps, and so it's exciting. So I know another thing we have is new component search. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and why that's important and how that's going to benefit designers.
Absolutely. So we have two new panels. One is for a new part search, a manufacturer search, and a component search. So the new part search is probably going to be used mostly in the early phases where designers are looking for new components. And from practice and experience, it can be a very agonizing phase of the design because you're not only looking for a part that works, that meets the requirements. I mean, that's a given. You're not going to use, I don't know, a 10-bit, you know, digital to analog converter where your application requires 16. You have to use 16. That's a given. But you need to find a part that meets the requirements, that is available, that's in stock, that doesn't have lead time from an approved
which
supplier.
Which is a huge problem right now. Kind of pain, like you said, agonizing. That's a good word.
It is. I used to be frustrating, and then I find sometimes the parts, and then the supplier is not approved by our company, and therefore you have to go through this crazy paperwork to get them approved, and then your project is being delayed, etc. And then it has to be supported for the next 5 years. So it's not just finding a part; it's all of these things that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And the new part search now from Altium, an Altium designer, is going to give you this cockpit where you have access to all components you can think of from all the vendors you can think of, DigiKey, Newark, you name it. You can select them if you work specifically with certain ones. And in this cockpit, you can do, for example, global search. If you want to just search for a particular part number, it pops, I mean, maybe in less than a second, you have the part there with the model, with the data sheet, with stock, with pricing, you name it. And all the parts are categorized by either type or, for example, crystals are all together, microprocessors are all together. Mm. And the most amazing part of this, and this is what we've been asked of probably in the last year and a half, every time I meet our customers, they ask for this, is the ability to search and filter using parametric information. Mm. So now in this, let's say I'm looking for a crystal 32K. As soon as I click on crystals, I get this nice filter on the left side, and I can filter by size, by package, by height, by frequency, by whether it's in stock, by whether it has a model. It's just amazing. And as you narrow down your results, you can also compare, for example, two parts. It's a simple selection control and select the parts you want to compare. And in the right-hand side, you'll see text that is in red. It means things that differ in the parts. And text that is white or green, that means things that match. Really, really amazing. I wish they had stuff like this back in the days when I used to do design. So
make your life a lot easier. Reminds me, easy. Not a designer, but it reminds me of like going onto like Amazon, and you've got all these really in-depth filters, right?
Yes.
It because there's so much available, there's so much inventory to get down to what you're really looking for in a big portal like Amazon or whatever. I'd love, that's going to be really welcome.
Yeah. I mean, something I remember one time I was looking for an amplifier for an op amp, and it had to be a very specific slew rate. I mean, there is no way that I could find that, narrow it down with whatever existing tools that used to be. But with this, I can probably just write on the global search or look at the parameters and the filter and select the slew rates that I want to filter by. It's really, really neat.
So what kind of positive time impact do you think that's going to have on designers that use All Team Designer as a tool?
Well, I don't think we've done any calculations, but just based on my experience, where in a typical designs you have hundreds of parts. So if you compound, if you waste maybe just an extra 5 minutes for each part, you can do the math. If it takes you now maybe a few minutes versus maybe a half hour or half day searching for that part, I mean, the impact is significant. It's really, really big.
It sounds like it. That's exciting. All right.
Yeah.
So the next thing I wanted to touch on was the improvement to our routing features. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, routing overall is going to be much improved than 8019, just an overall in terms of speed, in terms of sharp corners, of just the quality of the traces as you place them. It has a much better glossing, which now today it's going to be extended to all adjacent tracks. Like in the previous versions, for example, if you're trying to push a track, and as it tries to gloss, it will gloss that track, but it doesn't extend beyond other tracks that are being pushed, and you get this undesired results. Mm. And I don't blame sometimes users for not using it. So that's all changing. Now, the algorithm, it extends to anything that you actually push, and you have this beautiful tracks that are abiding to all your design rules as they get glossed. So really, really useful. That was going to save a lot of time and to our users when they try, you know, to gloss maybe routes or move a component or whatnot. It's always you're always going to have, for example, the nice zip up, a nice pad entry for differential pairs. You don't have to worry about getting them symmetrical or getting them into the center pads. This is going to be automatically done for you every single time. We have also some new features, one of which is the new follow mode. And mm-hmm. in this follow mode, what it does, it allows the track to be locked and hooked to any contour. And this is useful for curved sections, curved or rigid or flex section of a rigid flex region, for example. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, designers get their outline from a mechanical engineer. So he's already done the work on getting all those curves nicely done and all that.
Right.
And on All Team Designer, if you want to follow that curve, it's really simple clicking Control F as your route, and it just hugs and locks to that contour, and you can have as many tracks following the same contour. It's really, really nice, and it saves a lot of time, and it yields beautiful routing. The other one is a component move retrace, and last year met a few customers that requested this.
Yeah, I've heard about this one quite a bit.
Yeah, it's really nice. Although placing components usually happens before routing, mm-hmm. there's cases where at some point you have to move something. And for example, if you have to move a BGA with all those fan outs, that can be really
painful.
Yes, yes. So with this tool, you just select the components, and by a simple tab key, you select all relevant circuitry. And in this case, for the BGA, would be all the fan outs on the tracks between the fan out and the pin. And it just moves it. And then it reroutes everything, it glosses everything, and cleans up everything. Really, really nice.
How much time do you think and headache that's going to save?
That's going to save also a lot of time. I don't have any
You don't have, but I'm just, because you have so much experience, if you were a designer and this was handed to you as a new feature, you know, I'm just saying how happy you're going to be, or how's this going to impact your day?
God, I'm happy as a marketing manager because sometimes I have to change the, you know, things in the design. Imagine if I were doing this like 8 hours a day, or I don't know how many hours, 6 hours a day for a whole year. I mean, this is a nice feature that, again, it's that cumulative improvement that we do to make sure that we'll listen to our users and give them exactly what they want. And I just want to be clear, and every improvement that we do in general, it's the voice of the customer. I mean, I worked in companies when we did VOC, But what we do in Ultimate Designer is unbelievably beyond whatever I've seen before. It's we're in a constant communication with our customers, telling us what the gaps are, what their needs, what's going to solve their problem at the end of the day.
I'm gonna pause you there for 1 second, because I know this is true, but I think it'd be interesting for our listeners to hear. What are the variety of ways? And I have the privilege of being involved in a tiny slice of this, and I agree with you that we really do, but talk about just a few ways in which we listen.
Well, the number one way that I think I was so impressed with is our forum and our Bug Crunch and this community that has all the designers from all over the world that use Ultimate Designer. And every day they're writing to us, telling us either a bug or about an improvement, an idea, and we let our customers vote for those ideas. So if every time we get a new idea, we document it, we meet and we discuss, is it worth it? How much of the use cases? How much impact does it have on the customer? And of course, you don't have infinite resources. You have a finite resources, and there's always trade-offs you have to make, and you have to manage the priorities of all these great ideas that you get. And that's why sometimes a customer would ask, well, why didn't you do this one? And I would explain to them what I just said, and they understand. It's but this is just one of the ways. And of course, we do customer visits, site visits, for maybe customers that represent the bulk of applications that are user use, because we don't want to be going after the 1%. We want to go over the 80 to 90% of our customers. Of course, trade shows, and now Ultimate Live, of course. So those are just one of the ways we do surveys. It's, and this is constantly throughout the whole year.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And those are really great ways. And I have recently had the privilege to go out on some of those customer visits, and I am so impressed with just because sometimes I'm that connecting bridge or whatever. Mm. And so when our developers sit down with someone for a half day or a full day and just ask questions, I've never experienced that. Of course, I'm sort of new to the EDA side. I'm more from the hardware side, but I've been really impressed and to see those things implemented. And I think some people get frustrated with our bug crunch, not because we're not doing it well, as we don't communicate actually what we're doing. And I was talking to one of our developers yesterday, and he was just saying that a massive amount of the bugs that are filed have under 7 votes, but we will respond to everything over 7 votes. But say we have 10,000 bug crunch requests in, only 1,500 of those will have more than 7 votes. So, like you said, it's limited resources. We try to hit everything, but we're actually doing a good job, and I think we're going to do better in this upcoming year about communicating that, because, like you said, some people are like, why didn't you fix my bug? And I'm like, it just didn't have sufficient votes, or, it's kind of like majority rules, right?
And we totally don't want to ignore that one person who asked that, And the good thing is about Ultimate, since we moved to Ultimate Designer 18 with the new code base, now the platform is just much more stable than what it used to be on previous versions. And now we have a lot more time and more resources available to actually work on whatever that needs to be worked on. And it's going to be exponentially getting better versus previous versions. And our customers know this too.
That's great. That's great news. Okay, well, there's the next feature I wanted to talk about, which is Draftsman, which has been popular, but you said until now it hasn't quite been ready for prime time, but it is now. So tell us what you mean by that.
What I mean with that is just in terms of performance. We're really wrapped up the performance of Draftsman, and now we can be used without any issues, without any bugs, without any issues in general whatsoever. And we also added a lot of new features to it, things that our customers have requested, like for example the ability to turn on and off layers in the assembly and fabrication drawing views. Exactly similar to what in the PCB editor. It was a really great idea, and we implemented it. The ability to add now custom tables that customer wanted. We added also new views, like for example a realistic 3D view of your design, and this is again hovers around documenting your projects and being to communicate the design intent exactly with your manufacturer. So we're given all these tools to be able to do that. And every time I show it to someone who hasn't seen Draftsman, they get impressed. And we're working on making sure to communicate what tools are available in Ultimate Designer that our users are not aware of. So that's why we started all these webinars, all this reach out to our user base.
So are you, when you are doing these webinars, are you doing them by feature? Are you doing them globally or both? How are you presenting them?
Good question. We're doing both. For example, the AD19, or of course, we're just highlighting what's new. But we have separate webinars that I would recommend all our users to check out. One, there's one specifically for Draftsman.
Oh, good.
So it takes a deeper dive. And one specifically for multi-board. One specifically for part and component search. One specifically for project manager releaser, for example. So we're doing overall global to give a you know, just a 30,000 view, if you will, of the of what it can do. Mm-hmm. But we also have these deeper dives to learn more about its capabilities. And I always get asked, is that how much is it to get that additional feature? And I always say, you know, I laugh, I say, well, I'm not sure if you guys can afford it, but it's free. So
I know. Love that we add all this functionality, but they're like, oh great, what's that gonna cost? I'm like, nothing. It's just part of the tool. Yeah. So yeah,
it's
makes you feel like the good guy, you know, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You know, I want to mention there at Draftsman. So I had left the industry for a while. And when I came back, one of the things that was as a fabricator that stood out to me as such a stark difference from when I left and came back was the lack of documentation. I'm like, how can you even build this and know? Because you're just slinging stuff in back, like README files and or conversations. Like, there's not, like, there used to be really clearly stated documentation packs. Although, back in the day, they were more, they weren't done digitally. So they were done by Draftsman or whatever. I'm dating myself now. But anyways, so I love that this is being built in, because I think it's actually helping reinstate the quality of a really good data package, which means better product. Your design intent is really clearly communicated. So as an ex-fabricator, yay on Altium for working
and
on that piece.
And documentation never been like a the highlight, you know, of the day for an engineer. It's something that I had to do.
Right.
I hated doing it, but I had to do it.
Right.
So if you make it easy for me and simple and seamless and streamlined, oh, that's beautiful.
That's a good point. Okay, moving along, we got a couple more I'd like you to touch on. The next one is multi-board. Now, we've introduced multi-board in 18, so what have we added here in Ultium Designer 19?
Well, you're right. So we added in the last version of Ultium Designer with 18, and we set up the foundation for what comes next, because we know that at the end of the day, designers are not designing just PCB, but they're making a final product, a product that's going to be felt and touch and whatnot. So we're building on top of that with a new 3D kernel, a very, very fast 3D kernel, that and users that have been now playing with the open beta, they say that it was just a lot faster now to move the objects and the 3D sphere. It's really, really fast, which allows for fast collision check, much improvement measurements between components and to ensure the height and whatnot, and a beautiful new sectional view that allows you really to rotate the view in any direction and any angle to ensure the fit, form, and function of your product. And the other major thing that was added was what we call True Mate. And this is what designers are already accustomed to in the MCAD world, which is easy to mate two objects by selecting a single point in each object. So no more multi-steps. It's just simply selecting one object. You enter the mate mode and you select one object and then select the other and specific side, whatever the side you wanted to mate, and boom, you get mated instantly.
Nice.
Really, really nice and fast, yeah. And we also added that Rigid Flex support and the ability to export the files into Parasolid or step files.
Wonderful. Well, I know the ECAD and MCAD just are, the lines just continue to blur. And like you said, and looking at things more systemically, you know, I love this word that's come out, mechatronics, right?
Yeah.
So that's very exciting. I can see how that would be really relative and helpful these days. The last thing I wanted to hear about was we've introduced. Oh, did you want to say something else, David?
No.
Okay. The last thing I wanted you to touch on, if you would, please, is the printed electronics feature.
Yeah, so this is on the innovation side, if you will, and as you know, we're never afraid to try new things, to reach out to certain fields of technology or whatnot. And but this is really related to the core of manufacturing electronics in general, but not necessarily PCB. We've noticed a tremendous progress in the printed electronics, which is also known as conductive ink, as some of the users, when we asked them the question, printed electronics, they were sure, but when you see conductive inks, they I know that.
Yeah.
And so we noticed a tremendous progress in terms of materials, like from DuPont, just amazing. And it has been used in the last 30 years. Somehow it remained relevant. And we've noticed some companies also are creating some amazing products, and but without the right tools. And one of these companies is called Tactotech, and they use Altium Designer. And we just seen just these amazing products. Imagine, for example, the car seat switches that move, you know, the switch forward, backward, and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
A typical car manufacturer will have probably like 30 parts or so, and it takes time to assemble them. They're mechanical and they look, you know, kind of bulky.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed that with an in-mold, structural conductive ink design, if you will. And it just looks so beautiful, so flush with the design. Mm-hmm. It takes like 30, I think it's only 30% of the weight. It takes 20%, only 20% of the time to assemble. It's much cheaper to manufacture. And we thought, wow, this gives designers some new options with really clear advantages to develop certain applications.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked on them to develop the MVP, you know, the minimum viable product. We said, well, what are the pains that you're going through developing this kind of board? So they told us, and those who are familiar with this type of design, in the PCB you have layer one, layer two, three, and between each layer there's always isolation. So you don't have this problem of track from layer one touching a track from layer two. But for printed electronics, because it's a printing process, there is really no layers. It's a layerless concept. But you have to only cover the areas where the tracks overlap. But otherwise, all the tracks are in the same layer. So we developed a tool within Altium Designer that allows the software to look for those areas where the overlap is and flag them as errors. And this happens right after you change the layer stack into printed electronics. And it's accessible in the layer stack. It's really, really simple to use, and it really opens a new new options for designers to develop, like I said, certain applications. And it's cheaper, it takes less time to assemble, and cost less to manufacture. And there's some studies that are just like, wow, if I have the option to develop something with this, I would do it in the fly.
Right. Well, one thing I appreciate about Altium is their fearlessness to kind of pursue this culture of what they of what we call relentless innovation. And some people are like, just fix my bug. But yeah. And I don't see this, and I'd like you to comment on it. I don't see it as an either or. I see us fixing bugs and relentlessly innovating and wanting to provide actually both to the customers.
Yeah. And we touched up a little bit on this a little earlier. And I've had a customer, of course, not maybe twice, I think, that told me similar thing, and rightly so, because they, from their perspective, they want the tool to work. And I can say that the vast majority of every release we make is actually increase the performance, which includes always bug fixing. But I think it's a matter of survival to innovate nowadays. It used to be that you see a competition or from miles away, but now it's always breathing behind your neck. It's either you disrupt yourself or you get disrupted. Is that simple?
Mm-hmm. So you just basically answered my last question, was is the value that you think it adds. Obviously, we have to keep innovating to survive, but from the user's standpoint,
I think this commitment to innovation leads to this compounded knowledge that we accumulate throughout this journey innovating, which is what usually leads to major breakthroughs that usually shift paradigms, and ultimately it will benefit our end user. It's not playing it safe that really does it. It's taking the risks, because the greatest risks, as I fear, it's not taking one. So
right. Yeah. Well, this has been great, and we will absolutely share all the links to all your webinars, and if there's anything else you want us to share on Altium Designer 19. So congratulations on the webinar, and thank you, David, much for taking the time to share this with all of us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
It's been an honor for us. So if you are an existing Altium Designer user, you can go download Altium Designer 19 today. It's available as of this hearing. If you haven't played around with Altium Designer at all, certainly, you know, climb in, take a test drive, take her for a spin, see what you think. We're changing rapidly, I would say, over the last 5 years, and some people that haven't seen us since then just haven't seen us at all, because we've really moved forward leaps and bounds. So we invite you to come over and take a test drive. Thank you for the audience for joining us today. We always enjoy having you. We'll make sure to share everything in the show notes, which you can find at resources.altium.com/podcast. We look forward to being with you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track. We'll be right back.